the world is stressful. The world is, you know, kind of crappy sometimes for people, and they're stressed out, and they're in a bad relationship, or they got a crappy boss, and they just need somewhere to go and vent and have fun and just build such a strong community.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Get Your Fill, Financial Independence and Long Life, where we explore ways to achieve those two goals. And we invite very interesting, successful people on to help us. And that's why I'm very excited that Paul Halmy is here with us today. Paul used his business acumen to build his business into one of the most successful gyms in the US after leaving corporate America, which is something that if we're in corporate America, we definitely probably want to do. So Paul, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So Paul, I mean, were you always like an entrepreneur, like tied up inside of a corporate person, or what happened? How did you?
It was a perfect storm of just life. It was so weird because I chased the American dream. Like, I did everything that you're supposed to do. Went to college, you know, graduated from college, got a job as a stockbroker, got married, have two kids, a house, a dog. I was like, man, everything's perfect. But then, you know, after a few years, I realized it wasn't perfect and I wasn't happy, wasn't fulfilled. And then something started calling me, like, you know, you needed something more in your life. And then luckily I ran into some friends that were entrepreneurs, and I'd see how they were doing stuff, and I'm like, man, this looks really cool. And it's like, I want to do that. And then one thing led to another, and it was just, you know, I just had that calling. But yeah, I wasn't born to be an entrepreneur, I don't think. I just evolved into one, I guess.
Well, the test is, were you trouble at school? And I mean, this is the way I think entrepreneurs like have trouble with rules like their whole life. That's how you know you were an entrepreneur, in the waiting.
Yeah, that could be too. Yeah, because I was a class clown. So it was like I was a goofball. Yeah, that probably gave me my early start. But then I chased the corporate dream and hit all my goals. And I was like, oh, cool. And then I was like, all right, this is it. And I'm just trying to get a bump in my, you know, an annual bump and, you know, maybe an extra vacation day. I was like, oh, this is not what I want. I want to do things now.
Yeah. Yeah. And so how did you decide what you wanted to do for your entrepreneurship?
It was crazy. So it was a lucky thing where you just meet the right people. So I was in college in South Dakota of all places, and I was playing golf, which people now look at me and they're like, you played golf in college? I'm like, yeah, I was a college golfer.
Not bad. You played golf in South Dakota?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Not a very long season, but I played college golf. And I met a guy in NCAA study hall you have to take as a freshman. They make you literally sit in a room and study so you don't flunk out and lose your eligibility, which I couldn't believe actually happens, but it happens a lot. So you see a lot of guys not in that room the next semester. So yeah. When went through all that stuff and I met this guy and he was like, hey, you want to watch the UFC? And I'm like, what is that? And we went and watched it. And I'm like, whoa, that was pretty cool. And then he's like, you want to train that? I was like, no, not really. It's like, I'm playing golf, I'm going to get hurt. And we became really good friends and worked out together. And he's like, hey, I'm moving to Texas. Cause back then, this is in the late 90s. You had three choices. You either went in the US, you went to New York, LA, or Dallas. He's like, well, I can't afford New York, or LA. So I'm going to Dallas. And I'm like, cool. And then I was graduating and he was coming down here and I was like, oh, I'll try it for a year. Came down here and then started doing jujitsu and getting around people that were real passionate about it and fell in love with the sport. And I was like, man, this is great. And then I started meeting people that are making money doing it. I'm like, you can make money doing this. This is pretty cool. And then he got really successful. He's like, his whole dream was a fight in the UFC. And he actually fulfilled that dream, made it to the UFC, fought in the UFC. So I got to go work at the UFC with him for a few years. And it was just, man, when all that happened, I was like, I have to quit my job somehow because I'm going to be gone 12 weeks out of the year. And that's a lot of time. Nobody's going to keep
you. Not too many employers want to go with that.
Yeah, they're not going to go with that. You know, so I figured out a way with entrepreneurship how to do it and still run the business and be there and, you know, and get the most out of it. So yeah, it was definitely interesting.
Yeah, for sure. So did it seem like gyms were just going to be a natural progression of that passion that you had for jiu-jitsu?
That's how it happened. Yeah. At first I was trying to figure things out, like, man, should I do this? Shouldn't I do it? My wife was crazy supportive. So, you know, one thing I tell people is like, if you got a spouse, you got to communicate with what you want and why you want it. And she knew I was unhappy. I was gaining weight and I was stressed out all the time because, you know, you're trying to get a bigger bonus so you can go on and do these things, you know, the whole corporate thing. And she's like, just try it for a year. And I was like, I don't know. And then one day she calls me at work. She's like, hey, I found a spot that's for lease and they'll do a one-year lease. And I was like, really? I'm like, okay, she must want this too. So I was like, all right, let's try it. And we did it. And it was horrible. It, you know, anybody's taking that leap, it's hard. You know, it's yeah. not oh, yeah. an easy leap. You know, when you make it, it's tough, but if you want it bad enough, you'll find ways to do it. Cause you know, for me, it was I did both the corporate job and the gym for 2 years, and that was rough.
Yeah. Now, do you feel like in retrospect that you had to do that, that you had to hang on to your corporate job for 2 years?
Yeah, I was not in a position to jump ship at that time. I wasn't financially, financially I was doing okay, you know, 401k, doing all that stuff, but like cash reserves, things like that. You know, we had just had our second kid and I'm like, man, this might not be the best idea. You know, it's like, this is going to be tough. You know, it's like, we got two kids now and it's like, I have great insurance, great everything. But this is back in the day when even like off employer insurance was still good and reasonable. Now it's just ludicrous and insane. But, you know, so jumping, I was like, man, I can't do this with the family. I got to like, you know, have a little bit of safety net. So I was like, man, I'm just going to do both for a while and see how long I can make it. And then the good thing is after the first year, it finally started to get a little traction. And then going to the second year, I'm like, man, I can do this. I can really figure this out. And then you start figuring out business. Like, okay, I need more leads to get more people into the gym. Then I got to have better sales skills to sign them up and then teach good classes so they don't quit. And then I was like, man, this is really working. And then it just one thing led to another.
Yeah. Do you think now in retrospect with that, do you think that you could have done something to kind of fast track that process that, you know, I mean, we all do that by trial and error. We're like, okay, I'm just going to do it. And then, and I think that's almost an entrepreneurial flaw. You know, like if you were looking at it from business, I'm going to hire some consultants and I'm going to learn this thing, but it's like, I'm just going to jump in. And, you know, do you think that there could have been a way to cut down that learning curve?
Yeah, I would have hired a coach way sooner. It was like, I was like, oh, you know, I don't need to pay for that. I'm just gonna do it on my own and I'll learn everything. And then you're like, oh my God, I know nothing. So yeah, having a coach, a consultant knows what they're doing that has a proven track record is huge. That's what we do in my other line of work now, because it's evolved where I ran the gym and then people kept asking me for help. Like, how's your gym so successful? And then we started doing consulting and then, you know, cutting down the learning curve, like we're bringing people in and you know, within a year, they're putting up crazy numbers and they're happy, they're successful. So yeah, buying time is huge. That's one thing I wish I would have done sooner.
Well, and it's true. You said exactly my own thoughts as I was going through this process, like, oh, I can't afford to hire somebody, but like, in fact, it saves you so much money in the end. You're like, okay, I can't afford to spend a year figuring out the millions of things that I don't know about running a business, right? Yeah.
And then you're focusing on the things you think are important and they weren't the big moving pieces. It's like, oh God, I got to get, you know, sales and marketing. It's like, I really got to get better at these.
Yeah. And that's it. That's another thing that happens to a lot of entrepreneurs, right? You're going into a business that's your passion and you're like, I know the gym. I know how to make fun classes. I know how to get people excited, but you don't even know how to, you don't realize that, oh, I don't know how to pay my staff. I don't know how to attract people to the gym to show them I have these fantastic classes and stuff like that. Yeah. There's a lot of moving parts.
That's huge.
So today, I mean, how long ago was it that you made the leap to finally leave corporate America?
I made the leap in 2003, but then I stuck it out for a couple of years, you know, like I said, so I could do both and got myself in a position where I could leave. And then by 2005, 2006. Yeah. 2006. I was all gone. It was like, here we go. And then of course, 2008 happened. It was like, great, a recession. Awesome. But you know, luckily I was in Texas, so it didn't get hit too bad. And that's one thing we talk about. I talk about with clients too, is like, even if there's a recession, people still need things to do. They're not like, oh, you know what? There's a recession. I'm going to quit doing everything now. It's like, no. Right,
right. Well, exactly. And I think part of our job as entrepreneurs is to make people feel like what they're doing with us is actually something that's giving them fuel, you know, that's going to keep them going, that they need to keep doing, even though, you know, some other stuff might be getting cut.
Oh yeah. People are going to cut things out, but they need things that are fun to do and things that they like out in their life.
Well, and also I'm sure that there's the social aspect as well, right?
Huge component.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you don't want to give that up. You don't want to stop seeing your friends at the gym. So.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, so you got to, you want the people, you want to build that community. So people are like, they don't want to not be there. They're like, oh, I'll cut out, you know, Starbucks two times a week or something,
right?
You know, to make it where they can afford to train.
Yeah. And how do you do that? How do you go about building that community?
And it's, you show genuine care for people. Like, you know, they're not just a dollar sign, like, oh, this person pays X amount a month. And, you know, I need X amount of people. It's like, just treat them like, you know, family, like they're a friend, and the culture, you know, and really having a good, positive place for people. Cause the world is stressful. The world is, you know, kind of crappy sometimes for people, and they're stressed out and they're in a bad relationship, or they got a crappy boss and they just need somewhere to go and vent and have fun and just make it about just having fun.
Yeah.
Build such a strong community.
How do you relay that sense of caring to people? Because you're obviously, I'm assuming you're not able to like interact with everybody.
It's tough.
On a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly. It's tough. I try my hardest and I still can't get to everybody, but I always try and ask, you know, once you get to know them, you ask genuine questions about them. Like, hey, how's things going? How's family? You know, how's training going? Just little things like that. Just little small talk. And it goes a long way.
Yeah. Cause you're the star, right? You're the owner. Oh, the owner came and talked to me. So you've got that great, you know, cachet, right?
Yeah. So you got to try to interact with everybody.
Yeah. And that's so important. How about your staff? How do you kind of relay that same sense to your staff?
Yeah. Same thing. So staff training is like, hey, you've got to interact with these people. You've got to talk to them. It's like, you just can't act like, oh, hey, I'm in teaching class today, so I'm cool. It's not about that. It's about them, you know, cause you want them to come back.
Exactly. Yeah. If they don't come back, guess what?
Yeah, they're in trouble.
So you talked about 2008, you were able to stick through that recession. Boy, I'm having difficulty speaking. How about COVID? How was that for you? I mean,
COVID was the worst thing ever. I mean, it was insane. Like literally we joked around in 2019 towards the end, like how easy it was to have a gym. It was so predictable because you knew you had to get X amount of leads, got you X amount of students makes you X amount of money, you pay all your staff, you give them bonuses, and you invest money in the markets and real estate, whatever you want to do. And it was just an awesome machine, just running. And all of a sudden they're like, hey, you're non-essential and you can't be in business. And it's like, okay, this is awkward. This is, you know, so then you're looking at, you know, we lost, you know, 50% of our clientele within 6 weeks. It was insane, you know, and the other half was like, I'll do it. No, keep charging me. It's like, I want the gym to be here when this is over, wow, you know? So nice. So it's a good eye-opening thing of like, okay, these people actually really care about it. You know, there's certain people. So we're really going to focus on improving that. So yeah, but getting through COVID was painful, scary, horrible. It was bad. And I'm in Texas. You know, I have clients that were in some of the tougher states like Oregon and California and New York. You know, I couldn't imagine. It had to be so brutal because we were one of the first states to open back up and everything. So yeah, it was ugly.
In retrospect, I know I keep saying in retrospect, but that's where we get some of our wisdom, right? You like look back and you're like,
oh, looking back, you see the things.
Yeah. I mean, what can you think of anything you could have done? Like, obviously you couldn't have known that was coming, but to kind of weatherproof yourself for that type of a situation.
And the good thing is, you know, going back to my corporate career in finance and everything, that when COVID happened, I told my wife's like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, hey, we're good. I said, honestly, you know, this thing could last 2 years, which I didn't think at the time it would. And I said, they could shut us down for 2 years and we'll be fine. It's going to suck. We're going to have to, you know, tap into our, because one thing I teach people is you have to have an emergency fund for your business and for yourself. So I was like, okay, we'll tap into the business emergency fund first. Then we'll tap into, you know, personal if we have to, line of credit that you have set up for your business. And then if the worst case scenario, then if we have to go and sell some investments, it's going to suck, but we're going to, but we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of people I talk to though, in my industry, we're not ready for it. And that's one thing I try to teach people since I think it was 2018. I did a presentation on like the next recession and how to prepare for it. I didn't think COVID was going to beat the recession, which it was worse than any recession. Yeah. But teaching people like fundamental financial basics will take off so much stress because you're like, okay, cool. This is why you have an emergency fund.
Because there's emergencies happening right now.
When you lose half your income, you know, instantly. Some people lost more than that. Some people couldn't even reopen for months.
But also, I mean, do you do anything that isn't location specific? Do you do any kind of online classes and stuff like that for your gym?
We didn't. Patrons? And the thing is for me, mine's big into jiu-jitsu, which you can't teach online. It's just, we tried it during COVID and it was like, this is a disaster. This is not working. So what we did during COVID is we just basically 3 times a week, I just get on Zoom and we would just talk about we basically hang out and BS. And then, you know, I'd be like, hey, check out this instructional. We'll talk about it on, you know, and I'd have like 10 or 20 people on there each time. And just trying to keep that sense of community. Like, hey, we're going to be back. You know, we got to stay positive. You know, COVID's not going to last forever, even though the news wants it to last forever. I mean, they're still talking about it. Like it's coming another wave. I'm like, I'm tired of the waves.
That's exactly how I feel. Okay. Yeah. Next.
I don't care. It's like, yeah, I'm good. It's like, I should be dead by now. It's like, I've been training hundreds of people for 2 years that have interacted with thousands of people. And it's like, there's no way I should be alive. It's
right. Like, exactly. You know. Ridiculous. But you touched on a really important point right then though, because you know, people think, okay, the gym, it's all about working out, but you had made it all about community. And that was the thing that was important to keep going. You know, even if people didn't join, if they didn't participate that week or whatever, they still knew that you were there, that people yep. were meeting, you know, and that's really, I'm impressed by that, because it is just like, a lot of people would say, oh my God, you know, we're a gym. We have to make sure that people can work out, but no, we're a community and we have to make sure that people can still meet and interact.
Yeah. 100%. It was a huge thing, you know, and that was the thing. The hardest thing about it is even when you run a gym in good times, you're going to lose people because people have things happen. They cancel. So if you can't sign up new people, that was the hardest thing. Cause for COVID we couldn't, there's nobody was like, oh, hey, I think I want to do jujitsu and I've never done it before. It was like, yeah, it wasn't happening. You know, it took a good couple months till people were like, oh, okay, I think I want to try doing something. So when you lose that, that's when the bottom kind of falls out, because we've never had a thing like that. Even in a recession, people are still joining a gym. They're doing things. But man, when something's physically shut down and the news is scaring everybody half to death, like if you talk to a person, you're going to die. And I was like, okay, this is really uncomfortable.
Yeah, maybe I should join a gym and start paying even though they're not open.
Yeah, it was insane. Yeah. So you weren't getting new people. So yeah, you had to do everything you could to keep the people you had. And the bright side was like, it reminds you of how much community is important. So it's like doing things that, you know, are super interacting with people, doing off-site events. Like this weekend, we're going to do a promotion thing and then we're all going to go to a barbecue place and hang out, you know, stuff like that, where it's just, you get reminded, like, I really got to do more community stuff, because that's a big piece of the puzzle. Yes, they want to work out. Yes, they want to learn jujitsu and self-defense, but they also want to hang out.
Right. Yeah. And with like-minded people, right? I mean, that's a big part of it. You know, mm-hmm. these are people who have a strong common interest with. So it's not just, especially in your, you know, gym, it's not like just a whole bunch of random people and some of them are doing weights and some of them are doing aerobics, whatever. You've got a whole community of people who share a common passion. So yeah, definitely. Are there things that you do for sales and marketing that you think would be sort of applicable to anybody who's trying to start any kind of business?
Yes. It's universal. People are like, oh, well, you own a gym. It's like this stuff works in any business. Like the biggest thing you have to learn, especially if you want to get into entrepreneurship, going out of from corporate America, is you have to learn sales. You have to learn sales. If you don't learn sales, you're going to struggle. And people are like, oh, I don't want to be a sleazy salesman. Then don't be a sleazy salesman. Be a good salesperson. It's like when I get clients in the gym industry, they're like, well, I teach the best classes and I don't want to be a salesman. I'm like, well, you got to sign people up and show them your product. Well, I don't want to be sleazy. It's like, no, you ask them. It's like,
then don't.
Yeah. What brought you in here today? Oh, you know, I'm 40 pounds overweight. Okay. So you want to fix that? Oh yeah, I want to fix that. Well, why is that important to you? Oh, you know, I have two little kids and I can't do things with them because I'm too tired. It's like, okay, well, we got this program, which one works better for you? Oh, okay. I want this one. So when you simplify it down to those things, and helping people, because sales is just about helping people at the end of the day, unless you are a sleazy person, then, you know, don't learn better sales techniques. But hopefully people listening are like, they want to be an entrepreneur or they're thinking about it and it's developing that skill, but man, start studying sales, like reading just any kind of sales books, things like that, you know, anything you can learn basics to get your sales down, and then marketing, you know, if you can get sales and marketing down, you can grow any business.
And it's true. I mean, sales has such a terrible connotation. You know, we immediately think we got to put the plaid coat on and start being used car salespeople, but right. But it's not like that at all. Like you say, it's service. It's like, yes, okay, service. I have something I know you need. Let's figure out how to best make that work for you.
Yeah. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. Interesting. You've touched on a huge fear.
When I was working, I was like, oh, I never want to sell anything, blah, 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 blah. And then when I got hired and I was working as a stockbroker, it's like I was in the service side of things. And I'm like, oh, this is a great job and everything, but not making that much money. And then you see the guys that were making money, you're like, what do those guys do? Oh, they're in sales. I'm like, God, everybody that makes money is in sales. And I have two kids. I really got to learn sales. So, you know, then I started studying and trying to learn sales, and I learned it in the corporate side, you know, and that really helped me on the entrepreneur side.
Well, it sounds like a lot of what you did in your corporate job has helped you a lot in this entrepreneurial phase. It almost feels like that had to be part of the journey, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you're trying to learn, cause everybody's wired a little different. Like when I was in my corporate job, there were people that were just there to get their paycheck, be middle tier performers, didn't really push that hard. And for me, I was always super competitive. And I'm like, in my group, I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then, oh, we get this, they had this bonus, like a real small bonus pool. So I'm like, oh, cool. So you try to get the top of that. And then you get noticed. And then people are like, oh, hey, have you thought about this division? And like, well, oh, what do they do over there? Oh, they make more money. Okay, cool. I want to go over there. And then you just keep learning, being more competitive. But I think having a competitive mindset is a super important thing for entrepreneurship too, because you got to want more. And it's no knock on people that are in corporate America. They're just kind of like, hey, you know what? I like my life and I'm just doing this. Then that's great. Just do that. You know, but if you're driven and you want to keep chasing things and going up, up and up, entrepreneurship gives you so many opportunities.
But you know, it's more than that, because in corporate America, you know, people are competitive and they do want more and more and more, but you have to rely on someone else to give you that more, right? Yeah. Someone to notice you, to give you a raise, to give you a bonus, yeah. You know, like, okay, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? But when you're an entrepreneur, it's like, it's you, you know, you're the one who's giving yourself a raise and a promotion and that sense of accomplishment. So it's just taking the reins, right?
Yeah. It's got to take them and go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Excellent. So now what is life like for you today? Cause you're doing more than just running the gym today. What's your life like?
Yeah.
What's fueling you right now?
My life's crazy right now. I'm kind of going through these seasons. So it's like, you know, I have the gym, I still have the gym, you know, I'll keep the gym. Cause that's my passion. That's what I love to do. Love to go train and love being around people. And it's just my great outlet, you know, and it runs, you know, now post COVID it's running great again. It's fluid. And then we've been rebuilding our consulting company because, you know, it's hard to consult for people that have closed businesses. And then people freak out. The first thing they do is cut that budget. So people are starting to come back now and we're building that. And then like the last 2 years really reaffirmed, you know, me and what I want to do is help people with their finances and understanding the basics. Cause you know, surviving COVID was one thing, but then it's like, man, it's like, I'm getting older. You know, I'll be 50 in like 3.5 years or whatever. And it's like, oh my God, it's like, I've really got to be in a different position so I can just do more of the stuff I want to do and travel and not have to worry so much. So creating, you know, improving finances and helping people create passive income has been the biggest thing. Cause if you don't start planning now, it's going to be so hard when you get older. And so that's kind of my mission. You know, before it was just helping gym owners, like, hey, understand your finances so you can be successful. Now it's like, okay, we're going to go to another level. Now it's like understanding your investments, understanding, you know, people are like, oh, you know, like the stock market has sucked this year. And I'm a big, big proponent of the stock market, but yeah, it's like, I mean, even Amazon's down like 30 something percent, which just doesn't
make sense. I've got a buy order in for 2000. When it hits 2000, oh, I'm buying it.
That makes no sense. It's like, how is Amazon going down? All I see is Amazon planes every day. Cause I live by an Amazon distribution center and they have their own jets. They're flying things constantly. I'm like, so to me, it's like, okay, this, you know, the market's tough. So people are like, oh, then you start doing real estate stuff, you know, doing different things. There's so many opportunities out there, investing in other industries, other businesses. And so for me, I like to test things on myself, build a proven model, and then teach people. So that's where my passion's at right now, is really delving into other things and investing in other companies and, you know, being silent, passive investor that has no responsibilities except depositing checks.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that I think a lot of entrepreneurs miss, because every cent you have is going back into the business, right? This idea of like saving for a rainy day, like, no, thanks. I'd much rather, right, put this money. I'm going to do more marketing, more this, more that, but you got to find a nest egg and also to diversify, right? You would not buy just one company's stock and then just say, okay, that's it.
Yeah, roll the dice.
Yeah. But that's what you're doing, right? If you put your money into your own company, then, I mean, I know this was my baby, you know, that's all I wanted to spend any time or money on was my business, but you know, you gotta put your money to work.
Oh yeah.
Put the little soldiers out, right?
People always say, well, I make more money and put more money back in my business. I'm like, well, yeah, that's true. But then also you just never know when a recession's going to hit, obviously we never expected a pandemic to shut things down. Right. And it's like, man, you have to have other sources of income. You know, people don't understand that that's such a big key to everything, and especially for stress, you know, and like keeping your sanity through things when it's uncontrollable.
Yeah. So there are a lot of different things to invest in. Do you have a way where you kind of help people to decide what sorts of investments are going to be good for their sort of personality or risk tolerance or knowledge level or whatever you want to say?
Yeah. That's the toughest part. Cause I'm not a broker anymore. So I technically can't give recommendations, but I tell people like the coolest thing, we live in the craziest time, like, you know, love them or hate them, Robinhood changed the game completely. People are like, oh, well, they're garbage and they did this and that and that. It's like, yeah, they might have gypped you a half a penny on an order. It's like, okay, you know, but you don't realize back in the day when I was a broker, people would call up and like, hey, I want to buy, you know, AT&T stock. And I'm like, okay, cool. It's $59. If I place the order, you can go online and do it for $19.99. You know, and I like look back at those times. It's like, it was very hard. And back then they didn't have where, like you brought up Amazon. They didn't have a thing back in the day where you could be like, hey, I just want to buy $500 of Amazon. I was like, sorry, you need to buy one share. You can't do that. But Robinhood changed the game. They came up with, they created fractional shares. They got rid of commissions. So now all the companies, Fidelity, Schwab, everybody, nobody charges anything anymore on the front end. So I tell people, it's like the most fundamental thing is, you know, talk to your accountant and say, hey, which IRA can I do? And if they say, oh, you can do a traditional or a Roth, do whichever one your accountant says, then go to these places and talk to them. They will help you. I mean, granted, you know, people are like, oh, I don't have a lot of money. It's like, they want you to start because that way they can grow from there. You know, obviously mm-hmm. you're not going to talk to the most seasoned person, but you know, you go into these places, they will help you get started. And then, like you said, asset allocation, which is a big word, fancy word that they use, but they'll talk to you about that. They'll be like, hey, you know what, because they have to follow strict rules with giving you out advice. They'll be like, hey, you know, what's your risk tolerance? How do you feel about this? You know, what do you think about this? And they'll give you a profile like, okay, based on your risk tolerance, this is what you should do. You know, 70% stock, 30% bonds, or maybe it's whatever. And then they can put you into ETFs, which have no fees or super low fees. I should say there's always back-end fees, but they're tiny. And they will help you do that stuff. And then some people are like, well, I don't want to do the stock market. I'm like, well, then you got to find something else. Then, so then you start, you know, saving up money and then trying to find, you know, you can do real estate investment trusts, or you can do different offerings like that way. But the most basic fundamental thing, as I tell people, is you've got to start moving money out of your company, creating, you know, a buffer, and then investing, and then just learning how to do it and talking to people.
Yeah.
Cause they'll help you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I used to have this, I felt like, so when I used to invest in stocks, I never understood how to research them or anything. And I have had all kinds of crazy schemes of how to buy stuff. One time I said, I'm going to buy all the stocks that just have one letter for their name. That was my, I'm going to call it the alphabet portfolio. And, you know, like weird stuff like this. Like, why don't you just get an ETF? Like, you know, if you don't know anything. But, and I felt like every time I would buy a stock, I don't care what kind of company, how strong they were, they would like start going out of business, like right away. Yeah. Like, I can't invest in stock markets. It's just not fair to these companies.
And that's the beauty of ETFs that just track things, you know, that it takes all that work out of it. You know, you exactly. Look at Warren Buffett, you know, he's obviously one of the greatest investors of all time. And he's like, most fund managers can't beat the S&P 500. So why are you not investing in the S&P 500? And people are like, well, I'm just buying one stock. It's like, no, you're buying an ETF of the 500 best companies that Standard & Poor's thinks the best 500 companies are. And are you going to out research those guys? It's like, no,
I don't think so.
You're not going to get the great return of, like, you know, say you bought Amazon at 100 and went to 3000. Obviously that's like an amazing return. But if you're buying ETFs, you know, that are strong like that, I mean, cause they're constantly rebalancing the S&P 500. So it makes things simple. And, you know, Warren Buffett says that's the way to go. So I mean, you can't argue with the guy.
Well, I'm pretty sure that when he dies, he's putting everything into an index fund. Like,
yeah. It's in his will, I guess, when he dies, it's for his
wife. Yeah.
She's, I guess, like, it's his ex-wife, but yeah, she gets everything. His kids get a little bit, but then it's like, he wants it all put in, I think, the S&P 500, a little bit, a small percentage of a bond ETF, which is, I mean, he's basically set that whole plan up. So it's like, okay, he's pretty smart.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. If I didn't have, you know, if I didn't want to spend 8 hours a day researching and reading and finding stuff out, what would I do? Yeah. Here, this is what I'll do.
And that's the nice thing too, because we were spoiled. Like I told people back, you know, last couple of years, people were making stupid money in the markets. And I'm like, man, this is not normal. This is not how the market does not work, like AMC and all this stuff. This is not how things work. And we're seeing it now. Things are like, you know, even companies that, you know, Zoom, Peloton, things like that, that were just going to the moon and joking around, everybody talks about, they were going ballistic, but now they're going ballistic in the other direction. And, you know, the S&P 500, yes, it goes up and down. It goes up slower, but it goes down slower. So it's like, but it's going down, it's not as painful. And like I said, if you're always dollar cost averaging, just putting money in every month and just buying and forget about it, you balance it out and you're like, oh, okay, it's not so bad.
Actually, you know, we did a presentation last night. I'm in an investment club now. Nice. And we had a speaker in, and he said, instead of doing the dollar cost averaging, he takes those dividends and he puts them into a little, you know, money market account. And when the market goes down, he takes them all and buys a whole bunch of the stock. So rather than averaging, he's just like, no, I'm waiting. When it goes down, boom, I'm just putting them in to buy a big chunk of the stock at that time.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's like, as long as you're buying, as I tell people, you just got to keep buying. It goes up, you buy, it goes down, you buy. But the problem is we're not conditioned mentally to do the right things. We're like, oh my God, the market's going down, sell everything. And then it's like, oh my God, the market's at all time highs, buy everything.
I know, it's so awful. It's such a hard impulse to fight, isn't it?
It is mentally. We're not conditioned, you know, people have money, they're conditioned. It's like, they've spent a lot more time, you know, through their generations, where a lot of us were never taught these things, where it's like, oh wait, so when the market goes down, I keep buying. Okay. Yeah. When it goes up, you get a little nervous and you're kind of like, oh, this is getting, you know, everybody's getting a little greedy. It's like, oh God, you know, so you start getting nervous, but like, this is the time where fortunes are going to be made though. Cause the market goes down, and once everybody dumps, you know, then it's like, okay, cool. Then the real money comes in and buys everything back up, and we're off to the races again.
Exactly. And it is so hard, especially I think when everybody's buying, cause like, people can be like, oh, I got this great deal and it went up and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, I want some of that. Like, yeah. And then you just, I don't know. It's funny, but I was smart during COVID. At first I was like, well, I don't have a lot of available cash sitting here, but the prices are so low, I have to do something. So I actually sold some of my funds. I'm like, it's a shitty time to sell the funds, but it's a really good time to buy some of these stocks that I know are really good quality individual stocks. And I've been very happy that I did.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You can find some really good deals when bad things happen, especially in companies you believe in. It's like Peter Lynch's, you know, would say back in the day, he was a crazy successful a fund manager. It was like, just buy stock in the companies you use. It's like, you know, when you stop using it, sell it. It's like, so like for me, you know, not financial advice, but it's like, there's an Amazon package at my house almost every day. So like, why would I not own Amazon stock? You know, or I love going to Chipotle. Why wouldn't I buy Chipotle stock? Or I love watching the OC. Why am I not buying, you know, the EDR or whatever? EDR. The things you do, it's like, oh, cool. You know, because people are like, well, I don't want to use, you know, take part in Enron. It's like, well, did you use Enron back in the day? Like, well, I even know what it was. Exactly. Exactly. Don't buy it if you don't know what the hell it is. Well, it was going up and Tommy at work at the water cooler said I was going to make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, you buying, if you don't, that's the best way to lose money fast, is buy stuff you don't understand. Like, people are like, oh, I should buy, you know, gas is high, I'm going to buy gasoline futures or commodities, things like that. If you understand it, great. But if you don't, every time I bought something I didn't understand, it's like, huh, that money got burned. It's gone. Exactly.
It's so true. Boy, that is so true. And I mean, I was just thinking, if I would have had that mindset, because I used to go when Home Depot first opened, I was in there all the time. And I wasn't buying stock then. I wish I were, but I actually had kind of a love-hate relationship with that place anyway. So I don't know if I would have, but, and if you look at the Peloton example, right? I'm on my Peloton every single day because it's COVID. And then you realize, is this dust on my Peloton? Oh, I got to sell my stock, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because
now I can go outdoors again and I can go back to the gym, and it's like, yep.
Yeah. When you start understanding that, you're like, oh my God, that's how people really make money. It's like these stupid things, you know, it's like iPhone 27 or whatever. It's like, you know, and I tell people, they're like, well, I don't know what to do. I'm like, well, did you get the new iPhone? Yeah. Okay. Did you buy that exact same amount of Apple stock? And they're like, no. I'm like, but you buy the phone every year. Yeah. Cause I love the company, I believe it. And I'm like, huh, really?
Go figure.
So if you bought, and I forget, somebody actually did, I didn't find the article, but somebody did a thing. If you bought like X amount of stock every time the new iPhone came out, how much money you have. And it's a good chunk of change.
Oh, I bet it is.
You know, it's like, it just literally, like back in the day, the iPhones were $300, you know, which I thought was insane when iPhone 1 came out, $300 for a phone, you know, now they're like $1,300, you know, like, but people, they'll buy the new phone or company they believe in, but they won't buy stock in the company they believe in. I'm like, it's how you get cool stuff for free. It's
like, exactly. That's a fantastic way to look at it. And like you say, if you someday say, you know what, Apple's just not, you know, it's not doing it for me, I'm going to go buy an Android, then you have to say, wait a minute.
Wait a second.
If I feel this way,
a lot of other
someone
people.
Else does too. So I'm going to sell my stock, or at least some of it, right?
Your Peloton example was perfect. People were like, oh, Peloton for life, I love Peloton, because they had no other thing else they could do. And now there's options. You're like, social media is full of people posting their Peloton results, or I did blah, 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 blah. I see those things so few now. I see people outside walking, people going and doing jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, going to the gym again, because Peloton was perfect for that time frame when you couldn't do things socially, but we're social people. Even if we are introverts, we still like to go out and like right. see people and like interact and be like, oh, hey, how's it going? You're a fellow human. But yeah, that was a great example. Cause yeah, I have friends right now. I'm like, I bet your Peloton's got a lot of dust on it right now. And they're like, I don't want to talk about it.
Right. But if you were like, but I locked in my game because I was thinking about that. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe. Because I mean, the sell-offs have been massive.
Yeah, I bet. But they're doing something. They're changing their business model.
Yeah, they'll be fine. They'll change their model. There was a rumor for a while that I thought there was one that was going around that Amazon had negotiated to buy, which that would have been a crazy partnership or a buyout. That'd have been nuts.
But hey, things happen, right? Yeah. I mean, it was a big company. It's not going to just die by that. I mean, it could, I suppose, but I think they're smart enough that they're going to do some stuff and
yeah, they'll figure
it out. Be a great time to buy again.
Oh yeah, they'll figure it out.
yeah, but that's why I've been watching Amazon so close, because literally every day there's like, your packages arrived. Your packages arrived yesterday. Two packages.
You know, I don't go to the store.
Much stuff.
Yeah, I don't go to the store. It's like literally, it's like, oh cool, everything's here. We're good.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. So, okay. That was amazing. So now you're doing coaching for gym owners or just for jiu-jitsu? What's your niche?
So mine is, I'd say the niche is MMA gyms. So like jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, UFC style fighting, things like that is the main niche for us that we specialize in. And that's the one for consulting right now.
So a lot of people are afraid to niche down to that level because they think, oh, what about all these people that I'm not serving? Can you just talk about that a little bit, the decision to niche, the importance of niching?
I'm guilty of that. My business partner is super guilty of that, of like, oh my God, we got to go bigger. We got to go wider. We got to do this. But then the thing is, she's like, you're not known for anything. You're just like, oh, cool. You guys do the same thing. Because when you go wide open like that and you go up against real agencies, you're nothing. It's like, well, these guys have their massive companies. You know, they have, you know, Madison Avenue, whatever is in New York. I mean, I'm not going to go up against those guys. There's no way. But it's like, they're not going to be like, well, we want to go after, you know, MMA gyms that teach jiu-jitsu. It's like, they don't even know what that is. But for me, it's like, we niched down really far. So when I wrote my first book, it was a positioning thing too. It was like to teach people how to make money with their martial arts gyms, literally the name of the book. Because nobody was really teaching how people to make money with it. Everybody was kind of doing this, little that, but I'm like, we're going to niche down. We're going to do this, hit this. And the tighter it is, the better it is. Cause you can talk to the person. It's like, you see all these different things where it's like, you know, you could go in any direction. There's so many directions in entrepreneurship, but for us, the more we niche down, the better it's been, you know, and you can't have that mindset of like, oh my God, I'm eliminating so many people. Well, yeah, you are, because you're probably not the best person for them. You know, it's like if an accountant came to me and they were like, hey, would you do our marketing? I'd be like, like I've done marketing for, like, I've had friends come up and they'll be like, hey, will you do this for me? I'm like, well, yeah, but I got to charge you more because it's not what I specialize in. It's going to take me more time. And a lot of times it was more work, because to do a good job, you have to research things. You have to test things. But if you're specializing in one thing and you've already researched it and tested it on your own gym, you're like, hey, this works. Let's scale this out to 500 gyms and call it a day.
Yeah. And you know what else I think, because I'm a real estate agent, right? So how many real estate agents do you know?
Oh my God. So many.
So many. But if I say I'm a real estate agent and I specialize in first time home buyers who are moving to this county, then anytime you meet a first time home buyer who's moving to that county or that town or whatever, the street, you're going to think, oh, I got to put them in touch with Chris because this is exactly what she does. And you know, if you just said, I'm a consultant, people think that's nice.
That's nice.
But if you say I specialize in dot, 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 then if they meet somebody, oh, you're starting a gym. Oh my God, you got to talk to Paul. He's your guy. You know, he's the one who's going to help you because that's exactly what he does. And I feel like that just helps other people to refer you because they get it.
Well, and your example was perfect with real estate. I mean, there's so many real estate agents out there, but it's like, once you niche down, because if somebody says, oh, I'm a real estate agent, I'm like, oh, cool. Another real estate. But then they're like you said, oh, I help buyers in Tarrant County, you know, that are, you know, or corporate people that are moving in, you know, it's all like, oh, cool. Oh yeah. I know so-and-so they're just moved here or they're thinking about moving here. So the more niche you are, the better. Cause yeah, you can, you know, have a wide open thing. Well, I service everyone. It's like, oh, that's cool. What are you good at?
How do I know who I should send you? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, when you niche down like that, that's perfect.
Yeah. In every industry, there's always that fear, like, but do you really need like 17 million clients? No.
You always need the ones you can get and service them the best you can. And then you'll get more and more people.
Exactly. Exactly. So now what question, I mean, we've kind of covered an interesting traverse here of all kinds of different things, but is there anything that I didn't ask you that you wish I would have asked you? Anything that you want to touch on?
No, you covered a lot of good. We covered a lot of good stuff. Good questions, you know, going from corporate America to entrepreneurship and then figuring out that, hey, entrepreneurs, you got to start putting money away or you're going to be in a bad spot, you know, and was a big thing. And talking about investing. No, I think covered a lot of good stuff. You know, people always, you know, ask me, I guess one thing is, you know, when you do take that leap, you know, what's the secret to doing it? And there really isn't a secret. It's like finding something you like, and then just, you got to do it. And then the best thing I tell people is like, if you hate submit, you take the leap and you become a real estate agent or you become an entrepreneur, you open a smoothie king or whatever, and you do it and you're like, I actually hate this. This is horrible. Guess what? You can always go back to corporate America. They're always hiring.
Exactly. You know, especially now, right?
I joke around with my wife all the time because my nephew works for my old company that I worked for years ago, and he works remote from his bedroom. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I should have got my job back like last year and literally just worked, you know, while I'm doing my other stuff, you know, because especially with all the remote work out there, I mean, it's crazy. People aren't going to work and they're getting paid. I'm like, this is pretty cool. Exactly. But you can, the thing is, you can try entrepreneurship while you have your job and you might be like, oh, I love this. And then, or you might be like, I hate it. I'm just going to, you know, stick to work. And that's cool too. You know, find what you're passionate about and do that.
Yeah. Or you can use the test that I gave you earlier, right? Were you a good student? Did you really knuckle down and do everything everybody told you to do your whole life? Or were you a little bit of a behavioral problem? You might be an entrepreneur, right?
Exactly.
So I could probably talk to you all day because I think we have a lot of things in common. I'm having a great conversation with you, but I don't want to take up your whole life here. So are there like one or two things or just something that you could kind of give folks who are listening if they want to get on that path to entrepreneurship or if they're on it and they feel like they need a little help, something that they could do today that would help them to move forward?
Man, the ultimate hack, and I've done it in so many times in so many different ways, is find the niche you're interested in, the thing that it is, and then find the most successful people in that industry and follow them on Instagram. Facebook, yeah, it's okay. Facebook's kind of a cesspool, but I just love Instagram because whenever I want to get to if I get to a certain level, I'm like, what is this guy doing? Okay, he's really successful. Maybe I should see what he's doing. And you start following those guys. And then if they sell something, buy it. Like literally I've made lifelong friends from people from I bought things from. It's like, well, you buy your friendship. No, it's like these guys have 50,000 people on their Instagram, you know, and it's like, they don't know me from anybody, but then it's like, I buy a couple things and I go to one of their events. And then I say, you know, I say hi. I'm like, oh, hey, you're the MMA guy. And I always get that because like my ears are like mangled. That's why the headphones are nice. Oh, I took that off there. So you see that, but like I have mangled jujitsu ears and people are so like, but for me, it's like my calling card. People are like, oh, hey, you're the MMA guy. I'm like, oh yeah, what's going on? I was like, oh man, I loved your course on sales, man. That thing helped me out so much. Like, oh, cool. So then like, you see them again and they remember you. And then I'm not the MMA guy. Then I'm Paul. Like, oh, hey, Paul, what's up, man? And it's like, I've done that so many times. And cause that's how you level up is, or you can try to do it yourself and just figure it out, which is just painful. Like
so expensive too.
And it's the same thing. Like I'm guessing the same thing in real estate too. Is like you're not going to be like, you know what? I'm going to follow the bottom performers and figure this out. No, it's like, what is this person doing? Why are they so successful? And then you're like, oh, they're doing this. Oh, and they went to that event. I should probably buy tickets to that event. Yeah. And then it's like, then you start getting successful and you're like, oh, cool. So if you're listening to this and you want to be an entrepreneur, you're thinking about being one, is find the niche and find the people that are winning and just see what they're doing. And it's funny. It'll collapse time. One of my friends wrote a book about that, like collapsing time, because that's the most valuable thing on earth is time. It's like, if I said, hey, I will give you $5 million today cash, but you can't wake up tomorrow.
No, thanks.
Which one are you going to take? I'm taking waking up tomorrow. It's exactly. Like, but people are like, no, man, I need $5 million. I'm like, I'd prefer to wake up. So time is more valuable than money because, you know, but if you can collapse the time. So if I would have had a, you know, I waited probably 3 years till I had hired somebody. If I had done that earlier and I could have shaved 2 years off of my learning curve, oh my God, you know, it's like, it would have propelled me so much faster.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's more fun. And then you get into that, you know, if you even want to talk about the time value of money, right? If you didn't lose those 2 years of having more money and being able to invest and do more stuff. I mean, it's funny. Brian Tracy talks about, you know, he was a sales kid, you know, sales guy in a company just starting out, and he was really doing terrible, you know, and he just, so instead of like looking at the top guy and saying, oh, you know, what a jerk, you know, what's he doing? You know, what's he, you know, why does he think he's so great? He looked at the top guy and said, maybe I should talk to that guy and see if, you know, ask him why he's so successful. Yeah. And this is like, he built his entire career on this. Like he took the tips this guy gave him. He made a lot of money in that company. And then he like went off and started teaching other people how to do sales with the same stuff that this person had taught him. It's like, so many people think, oh, you know, oh, that person, they're just lucky. They're just a jerk. No,
yeah.
Not only are they good and doing something you're not doing, they'll probably be willing to talk to you about it and tell you what it is.
Oh yeah. That people will help. I mean, that's the thing. People are like, you know, our egos get in the way, like, oh, I don't need to talk to so-and-so. It's like, yeah, you probably should, or you can just, you know, you can figure it out in 5 to 8 years. It's
like, and even once you're already successful, keep surrounding yourself with those people and keep asking them, what did you do that was different? What do you, you know, how are you finding success, right? Mastermind with those people.
Oh yeah. How'd you get to this level now? And the guys, the funny thing is the guys you follow that got to a certain level, they're at another level now. And I'm like, oh my God, I got to keep going. It's like, exactly. But it's fun though. That's part of the entrepreneurship part is fun. Like you'd mentioned earlier, it's like, you can create different things. I can create time off. I can create another sales funnel. I can create another marketing funnel. I can, you know, I can create whatever I want. You know, it's like, I get to pick my own adventure, you know? So that's one of the.
Yeah. That's a beautiful way to put it. Create your own adventure. I love that. So listeners, if you're ready to create your own adventure and you know, some other folks who are, please share this episode with them, because Paul has shared some beautiful gems with us today. And I think you have a friend who deserves to hear them. And thank you, Paul, so much for being with us. This has been really fantastic.
I had a great time. Thank you.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. And please be with us next week when we have some other fun stuff. We don't know yet what it is, but it's going to be amazing.